Welcome to Chandler United Methodist Church Online. Your willingness to make the connection between discipleship and intentional financial support is in fact the reason mission and ministry continue to happen through this church. Jesus tells us being faithful means putting our money where our heart is. Links for online giving are in the email that put this link in your inbox, as well as on the church webpage. I also want to invite you to take a moment and let me know you are here and how life is going for you by filling out a Connect card each week. It's at the bottom of the church webpage. We did 11 sermons through Lent, looking at 11 human characteristics visible in those who were against the ministry of Jesus and managed to get him killed. Since Easter, we have been looking at the human characteristics present in Jesus that we can imitate, ways that we can be in line with and for the ministry of Jesus. I was thinking that today I would start by talking about Popeye a bit and maybe show a scene of him eating spinach to gain strength. But then I thought we'll just talk about getting strength. How do we get strength? I know a lot of people say the Lord gives strength. Specifically, though, I think the danger here is reducing God to reducing our thinking of God as spinach for us in moments when we feel weak. So what is the alternative? That's what we are talking about today. I get excited. I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Do you remember the movie? Let me give you a hint. 1984. Beverly Hills Cop. Those lyrics were sung by the Pointer Sisters. The scene is one in which Eddie Murphy is dragged behind a semi-trailer. He's holding on to the load chains as it is being driven very fast by drug runners fleeing a police bust. Eddie is absolutely pounded trying to hang on to these load chains. Do you ever feel dragged through life like that? Just trying to hold on, or maybe, just to use this movie scene, you feel a little more like the drug runners, trying to get away from unexpected surprises, and wanting to run, or holding on for dear life. The question of strength is a big one. We humans will do almost anything we can to attain strength and retain control. Our scripture readings today are about strength. They are a source of strength. John 10, verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 14, verse 6, Jesus tells his puzzled disciples, "I am the truth, the light, and the way. No one comes to the Father but by me." Words which certainly make anyone feel sought and unique and affirmed in following Jesus. Strength for us, I suppose. These passages have, unfortunately and inappropriately, been used in churches as a sign of being exclusive, though. A dividing wall. We who have Jesus are in, and those who do not have our Jesus are not in. It becomes a bit of a membership card to the Jesus Club that we can pull out, and it fits well into the theological thinking of frightened people looking for surety and security, wanting to feel strong. It is a response, it is designed, this club card idea is designed and introduced in such a way it produces a rather knee-jerk reaction in frightened people who say, "So how do I get my club card?" And of course the answer is believe in our Jesus, which fits right into what we read Jesus saying in these texts. Strange enough, both of these passages are texts of division. John 10 begins with Jesus speaking to the religious heat, the Pharisees, about bad shepherds who are in it for the money. Even though they have practiced their voices, the sheep know they are imposters who mislead and steal and destroy. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. My flock knows my voice." John 10, verse 6 tells us the Pharisees would not understand. John 14 is Jesus talking to his followers, the disciples, about belief. How believing in Jesus resolves insecurity. The problem here is belief. Our cultural church, most of us have received the definition of belief from the American English Dictionary, which defines belief as a state of mind. Mental acceptance that a statement is true or something exists. I believe. I believe a lot of things. I believe in love. I believe in music. I believe I can fly. I believe Captain Crunch is the best cereal. I believe in English is an extension of my thinking, my aspiration. And really outside of my own head, to say I believe means nothing at all. Conversely, first century Greek, the word we have received and translated as believe is pisto. To believe in someone means what is important to that person becomes important to you. Enough that you act on it, reliant on their insight and their promise and their integrity and their character to demonstrate the way forward. To believe in Jesus means that what is important to Jesus becomes so important to us that we move to act on what he says. We imitate him. In John 10, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who will not. They keep their belief in their head and their thinking around rationalizing and defending and deserving and getting what they want. These are folks who talk a good game, talk a good faith, but seem to possess no connection between their claim of loving God and how they treat the vulnerable, the poor, the widows, the immigrants, or the fact that they seem to have no conversation with God. They paint themselves as controlling the gate of entry into the presence of God. Jesus is telling them, "No, you do not." They paint themselves as being intimate in conversation with God, representatives of God. Jesus is telling them, "No, you are not." No, you do not have conversation with God. In John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples who have followed him thus far. And he uses phrases like, "If you love me, carry out my commands." He says, "I will ask God's advocate to help you." He says, "Whoever keeps my commands is who loves me and sees me." This may seem like a large leap, and maybe you have noticed this, but what is it that puts all of the Old Testament greats on the list of being faithful, great in their faith? Sarah and Abraham and Miriam and Moses and David and Jacob and Ruth and Joseph and Hannah and Saul and Job and Jonah and Solomon and Rachel and Elijah and Jezebel and Noah and Isaac and Deborah and Joshua and Samson and Esther. I know. We read their stories and we try to figure out what right thing they did that put them eternally to be commended as faithful. What right thing did they do? We want to do that right thing. But what unites them all, what they did was act on their faith in God as best they could in their moment. And they kept bringing their struggles into God's presence for conversation and prayer. That's what unites them as great in their faith. They kept talking to God. Some of them also did some really wrong things. Usually about the time they stopped talking with God. Back to our text, Jesus clearly understands the difficulty of carrying out God's ways of kingdom, justice, compassion in this world. One response to the struggle, one response is to paint oneself in religious words and don religious garb and practice religious voices, but keep belief in one's head as a mental exercise, an accomplishment of, "I believe this, but it doesn't mean anything other than in my head." Make no effort whatsoever to struggle with justice or with compassion. Pray at God with self-congratulating gratitude. This is what the Pharisees are doing, and Jesus is judging them in both of these passages. The alternative response is to see belief in God and belief in God's way visible to us in Jesus, to see belief in God's way as the impetus to struggle with the challenges inherent in our existence, in our moment. To wrestle with what God asks us to do. To grapple with the implications of what justice could look like. To contend with the costs of compassion. To become mindful of our doubts and our distractions as we keep talking to God. In moments when we are challenged and overwhelmed and flustered, and we have all sorts of words to tell God how big our problems are, we bring them all. We keep coming into God's presence and talking it through as we put words around what is on our heart, and we find ourselves discovering again how big God is. This gives us stability when our world is rocked. It gives us sight into the larger picture. It gives us peace that passes understanding and strength. Our strength comes in following Jesus in his way, in this way, God's way. We're not on our own trying to figure out and rationalize and justify our own way and wrap it in religion like the Pharisees. Jesus shows us the way. He is the way. He will lay down his life for this way. And for us, the character and integrity of Jesus is so compelling, worthy of our lives given to pursuing, embodying, and sharing it. May the Spirit of God, whom we imitate in the person of Jesus, go before to show you the way, behind to nudge you forward when you are too scared to move, above to watch over, and beside to be sometimes the only friend you have in this world, and also within, that you might know peace. Be always in peace. Amen.